The scripture today is from John 15, 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This ends the reading.
Thank you, Nancy. To be honest with you, this passage of John 15 was not in my attention until this past Thursday in my preparation for this Sunday morning service. Actually, the other passage that was in my reading and pondering throughout this week was Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, the story of prophet Isaiah answering God's call. And let me read one verse from this passage, the verse 8. So I hope that we can see on the screen. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Yes, even if I selected this Isaiah's passage for this morning, you won't be surprised to hear those passages being read here in this service today, as we honor those who answered the call to serve their country in the armed forces. But you know what? Actually, there were kind of pull and push in me when it comes to selecting this passage of Isaiah 6 for today. Pull and push, right? And I need to say both of them. Again, of course, veterans answer the call from their country when their country asks for their service. But at the same time, I heard even veterans among us this year say to me with honesty, graciously, that joining the military was not a happy voluntary choice in the first place. We know well that many of them were drafted. They were forced to take the risk of sacrificing their lives. And I know that in most cases, the way that a young man or woman joined the military was not like Isaiah's. Right? Hearing a heavenly voice, go into the... No! Seeing a vision, in the dream, kind of, all the military men came and kind of took him? No! We're answering the call promptly? Okay, let me go. As soon as that person know that call? Probably not. Actually, you know what? I am a veteran too. I serve in my home mother country in the army. And I didn't like it. I counted throughout my period in the military, when can I be released? No. Yeah. But again, please don't get me wrong. I have no desire to devalue our honoring of veterans. Totally opposite. But I know that when we remind ourselves that they are like us, ordinary people, feeling fear and wishing first and foremost for safe return home, then we can see more clearly that they are heroes. Again, not because they were willingly exposed to danger and went above the and beyond the call of duty, right? And definitely I don't want to use the term hero too loosely, But I truly believe that they deserve to be called heroes because they took the path where sacrificing of themselves was necessary. They knew well that serving in the military means giving their life to something bigger than themselves. And they didn't run away from the call. Do I say that I am a hero? No. But I am proud of myself when I look back on those days where I was tempted to run away from the duty, but I stayed on the course. With the help of many people, definitely there, the help from my fellow in the army. Going back to the story of Prophet Isaiah answering God's call, and I believe it still has something to teach us, and you can see it when you consider the context of the prophet. Chapter 6 begins in these words, "In the year that King Uzziah died." What do we know here is it was a time of power transitions, quite similar to where we are these days in this country, isn't it? And considering what was happening around them, I can say that they couldn't see much of their future. The international order around Israel was undergoing significant changes with the rise of the Assyrians. So the threats of the largest, most advanced military power were all around. But you know what worse yet was that this call from God was telling Isaiah to go and what? Battle with the Assyrians? No. Tell the people of Israel that it's all because of them. If you just read the first chapter of Isaiah, then you can see that they were not doing justice. They were not caring for the poor or the widow. And they didn't listen to God's call. Their worship was, without their heart, just a mere formality. Their hands were oppressing others. Their love was money, not their God who gave them freedom. Those are what you can read in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. And then you may say that those contexts of Israel's world, the Isaiah's Israel, were not much different from what we have seen around us in this country. Did Isaiah then feel qualified to go and speak out? No. However, Isaiah needed to accept that God is looking for not a superhero, not a saint with a halo, but a servant. That way, I am truly convinced that the story of Isaiah today tells us that God is calling you and me. Yeah, this week, our common context, which is the confluence of the election and Veterans Day, makes me think about calls. Not a kind of call that you may think some exceptional people or some church leaders or pastors should answer. Not a kind of call to military service in periods of war and conflict. No, I'm talking about God's call in our everyday life to all of us. So, my beloved family and friends in Christ, where is God calling you these days? Where is God calling you these days? And you know that this question is not necessarily about a physical location to go. First and foremost, this question is about your heart, where your heart is, what you listen to. Even this question is all about whether our heart and minds is open or closed. And what is true is that if our heart and minds are dominated by our reaction to the situation, which did or did not turn out in the ways that we hoped it to be, then we fail to discern God's call. Again, when we are dominated by, preoccupied by the situation around us, then we may see that our heart and minds are closed and fail to discern God's call. Then do you listen for God calling? Where is God calling you these days? This week, I felt that I heard God's voice through multiple people who speak of the same point. Let us pray. Let us pray. Yes. On the day after election, one of the first words that I heard from another person was, let us pray. And then examining where my heart has been lately, I took it as a God's message for me personally. Yes, we have a call individually in our everyday life. And also we have a call collectively as well. So let me ask you, where is God calling us as one nation these days? I felt that I heard God's call in the words of Howard Edholt. Very common person, right? One of the war veterans in our church family. Yes, thanks to the mild weather of this week, I was able to visit with him on this past Thursday, and wearing face masks and sitting outside in the shade in a distance from each other, he and I had a good visit. And the first thing that he wanted to show to me once I stepped in his space was to show me his quilt of valor that he received this year. Then, after we sat together, he started telling me about his friends whom he met in the Marine Corps and fought and survived together in the Korean War. And long then, his story included this: long after they came home safely from the war, one day Howard heard his friend from the Hudson River in upper state New York was dying. So Howard made a trip to see him. And the friend on a hospital bed was delighted to see his friend Howard. And actually, Howard went by Howie. The friends call him Howie. And Howard doesn't forget what his friend said to him on that day. Howie, I love you. What is special this? He said this. Howard said this to me in recalling that story. You don't usually hear it from a guy, right? You don't usually hear it from a guy. Then Howard said to me, I cannot forget it. Love of a friend who shared life and death in the battlefield. Then our 1 hour long visit ended with his sharing of his favorite scripture passage. Actually, I had one passage in my mind, and I said, okay, Howard, I look for a good passage, as I know that what I wanted to read to him. But Howard jumped in, it is John 15:13. John 15:13. No one has a greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And I know that this passage has become personally very meaningful to Howard through his time of serving in military with his fellow soldiers who came from different parts of the country and whose lives were put on the same line in the battlefield with him. Yes, there is a word of sacrifice next to the word love. But it doesn't mean that love can be held off to practice until a sacrificial action is needed. No. Love and sacrifice can be practiced now, even in the midst of disagreement. As long as we stay on the course together, facing the inner and outer challenges together, we share our love. Because as veterans have learned and as a pandemic has taught us, we rely on each other for life and death. This is the lesson that we have learned through this time of pandemic and through the examples of veterans. We rely on each other for life and death. Today we are reminded again that we have a call collectively. It is a call to love, even before a call to understand or agree, but it is a call to love. Yes, to some of us, this call to love may have to be put into action with the efforts of embracing the difficulty to understand those with whom you don't agree in many places. To some of us, the call to love might mean a deeper and continued commitment to speaking truth to power and working for healing of the nation. And perhaps as we learn from veterans, to all of us, living this call, the call to love, starts with this: accepting that we need one another. Again, all the veterans learned this. We need one another. They learned it soon after they joined in the military and put on their uniform. We need one another. Hear the words of Jesus in John chapter 15 again. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We, whose identity is in our relationship with God and whose loyalty is to Christ, take this commandment seriously, just as veterans took their commitment seriously, right? Then we put it into actions, not just in our church family, but also in our society. What our God calls us to do is clearly known to us, to love one another. Even in times of distress and disagreement, because we need one another. I say this, Republicans need Democrats. Democrats need Republicans, because we are all one nation. The poor needs the rich. The rich needs the poor, because we all have something to make our lives rich and more meaningful. We are all together, one nation. So, as Christians, we also know this. With our God, we are all family, relying on each other for life and death, with this commitment of loving each other and making peace on earth. So, what a hymn that we can sing this Sunday meaningfully. I'm talking about this hymn that will send us out into the world. Let there be peace on earth. So let us sing this song together again as we are reminded of this very truth. We need one another.